To the Lord of cheer. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated. Yeah, I was standing here when y'all were singing. A scripture verse came to my mind. And it's in James. And I'm going to read it. The Lord had showed me this a long time ago. And when he first showed it to me, I thought it was neat. But then he showed it to me again, and I got so excited I wanted to climb one of these tent poles in here when I talked about it. And it's in James, and it says, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and he shall be given him. I'll stop there for a minute. Now that sounds good. I mean, yeah, it sounds good. If you lack wisdom, ask God. But then I looked at it again. And God said, go back and look at that again. Go back and look at that. And look at what I'm saying. If any of you, who is he talking to? The believers. Now watch this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him or her ask God, and he'll give it to you. But then look at that. Look at that. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all. 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 Liberally. See, the men were at it. The word men, were, well, that was at it. Who giveth to all liberally. Now, I don't know about you, but all, A-L-L, here is not talking about a laundry soap. God is saying here, he gives wisdom to anyone. Anyone that asks. And doesn't upbraid them for it. This is the non-believer out in the street. The prostitute. The drug addict. He gives it to all. Liberally. And upbraideth not. God gives it. Alright, now watch this next part. Because see, here's the key. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with wind and tossed. Wavering, you know, 1 minute believing, next minute not believing. 1 minute believing, next minute not believing. Wanting to believe but doubting. Huh? Now look at what happens. See, God's already given here. This is what I want you to understand. God has already given. He says he gives to all liberally. Is that right? Yep. And upbraideth not. All right, now watch this. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Now, I've heard more preachers get up and preach when I was younger that if I was double-minded, God wouldn't give me wisdom. And that's not what it says. It says, if any man lacks faith, let him ask God, and he'll give it liberally. And he won't upbraid. He'll give it to anyone who asks. But you know, there's a secret that a lot of people aren't aware of. Giving is a two-part thing. There has to be a giving, there has to be a receiving. And you have to take your hand and receive it. See? So here it's showing, God will give it. You've got to receive it. God isn't going to take your face and put it down in the water and make you drink. He'll give you the water, but you've got to drink it. And then he said, now look, I want you to take it further. What else do you lack? Help? Ask me for it. I give it to all men liberally, and I won't upbraid them. What else do you need? Love? Peace? Joy? Deliverance? What do you need? Ask me for it. I will give it to you. That's God's will.
Amen.
But God can stand there giving it, but unless you're willing to put out your hand and receive it, then it does no good. How many times I've showed you this, Ricky Baldwin, with people when I've witnessed to people, and I'd say, can you do a thing? And they'd say, yeah. And I'd say, what happens if I were to give you this? And I'd hold that out to them, and they'd just sit there and not take it. Huh? And that's the principle. They're waiting for God to take their hand and stuff it in it. Huh? My Bible says the kingdom of God has to be taken with violence. You take it with violence. You don't sit back and wait for it. You reach out and take it. You take it. God's made a promise. He's made a promise in Jesus Christ. He's paid for our sins. He's taken our sickness. He's taken our diseases. He said, it's yours. It's all yours. Come and get it. Come and get it. Well, amen. Take it.
Amen.
Amen. And it's all in Jesus. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. There's no sickness in Jesus. Huh? I was blind. You say, well, yeah, well, look at those glasses. So what? I mean, I was blind. I didn't have a retina that was working. It was destroyed. Huh? Doctor said there was nothing could be done about it. So I went to Dr. Jesus. And he created a brand new retina. Hallelujah. But you see, my desire was Jesus. The desire was with Jesus. And when your desire is Jesus, then you ask a thing, he gives it, you reach out your hand, and you take it. You know, a story I love to tell is a story. I pick on my son for this. I love picking on my son. Can you imagine Ricky up here? 2-3 years old. Huh? He's a cute boy. I had to watch him with the girls, though. But he was cute, and about that tall. And can you imagine me coming home, and I got this candy bar stuck in my pocket, and he can see it? Mounds almond joy. Sometimes I feel like a nut. And Ricky sees me coming to the door, and he falls on his knees. Oh, Father, I'm so unworthy to be called thy son. I back-talked mother today, and I kicked the dog and bit the cat. Anyway, that was me that bit the cat, wasn't it? But Father, if I could just touch that candy bar, I'd be so thrilled. Now, if I came home and he did that, I would have drop-kicked him and go beat his mother. And said, what in the world did you do to that boy while I was gone? You know, I said that in a church meeting in a tent revival down in Georgia. John Squires, you were there. Down at a tent meeting down in Georgia, and a guy came back afterwards and said I was a child abuser. He didn't even hear his story. I said, if. No, when I get home, if Ricky saw that candy bar and say, hey, Dad, that candy bar for me, can I have it? He wouldn't take time to say, to hear an answer. He'd just reach out, grab that candy bar and start eating on it and walk off and say, thanks, Dad. Isn't that the way kids are? Huh? What did Jesus say? If you want to enter into the kingdom of God, what? You have to become as a child. Notice, not like a child. As a child. We've got a lot of adults that are like children. Huh? I remember this church down in Chuliota, Florida years ago. And I was one of the speakers there, and they had this minister come in. And it was like, you know, one night one minister would say something, next night another one would do it. And then we'd get to pick on them. They didn't like me picking on them. But this guy came in, and he was talking about children. And he was preaching on that verse about children being, you know, innocent, without sin, precious little children. And after the service, he, you know, opened it up for questions and all. I raised my hand. Whenever I'd do that, man, everybody would cringe. I'd say, you got kids? No. I said, that's pretty obvious. You don't know anything what you're talking about. You know, what do you mean? I said, I never knew a child yet. I had to teach to misbehave. Have you ever known a child that you had to teach how to misbehave? Now, Johnny, I want you to back talk your mother. Now, Johnny, let me explain. This is how you back talk. When mother says do so-and-so, you say no. And if she says you do it anyway, you say you don't want to. Now, be a good boy and back talk it. Have you ever known a child that had to be that, that you had to treat that way? No. Children by nature are rebellious. That's why Jesus didn't say, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven or enter the kingdom of God, you had to be like a child. Because rebellion is not going to get you anywhere with God. Amen? He said you had to be as a child. So let's find out what that means to be as a child, because it works right here with James to understand how to receive the things of God. All right? When you have a little child, and you, and many people do this, I never did, I didn't believe in it, but others do, tell your little child about Santa Claus, do they believe you? Huh. And, oh, they can't wait for Christmas, right? And parents tell their kids about Santa Claus because why? They can hang it over their head all year. Don't be good or Santa Claus ain't gonna come. Huh? It's a great gimmick, except for one thing. When kids find out you lied to them, then they don't know to believe in Jesus. Stop thinking about it. Parents teach their kids all kinds of lies and don't realize it. There's a Santa Claus. There's a tooth fairy. There's an Easter bunny. There's a boogeyman. There's a sandman. I thought I said that. Did I say that? Tooth fairy. We'll say it again. Huh? And then they say, oh, by the way, there's Jesus Christ. See, and the child grows up, they find out Santa Claus isn't real. The tooth fairy wasn't real. The sandman wasn't real. Huh? The Easter bunny, that was a farce. And then they wonder, gee, I don't know why my kids won't go to church. Duh. You lied about everything else. Why should they believe you about Jesus Christ? Huh? A lot of us parents got to get our priorities right. Some parents, it's too late, but they got grandkids, so they can start with them. Look, we were kidding when we said there was a Santa Claus. Let me tell you the real truth. Huh? All right. What does it mean to be as a child? What it means to be as a child is to receive and believe. You tell a child to turn that light switch on, he'll go over there and flip that light switch on and not think anything of it. You tell him, now look, it's going to get dark, and if you don't like it dark, you just turn that little light switch on, that light will come on. They'll believe you. Now, they don't have to sit down and say, now, I wonder how that light switch is going to turn that light on. What does the light switch have to do with the light? I wonder how that works. I just can't believe that light's going to come on because I don't understand how it works. No, kids don't do that. They just walk over and flip the light. They don't care how it works. They don't care how it works. Huh? Somebody asked me one time, said, preacher, how does healing work? Don't know, don't care. All I know is Jesus said, say it and it happens. Say it, believe it, and it happens. And I say it and I believe it and it happens. Huh? What's so hard about that? I don't have to understand the spiritual metaphysics of it, if there is such a thing. God's in control of that. That's His department. All I got to do is put the light switch. Huh? And the person being healed is the light bulb. Jesus is the wire that connects us. God throws the switch at the holy power plant. And the Holy Ghost power comes down the line, which is Jesus, through the light switch and hits that light bulb and it goes blink. That's all you got to know. In fact, you don't even have to know that much. All you really need to know is Jesus said it. You remember years ago they used to have the bumper stickers on the cars? It said, Jesus said it, I believe it, that makes it so. You remember those? Anybody remember those? I used to run around with a red pen every chance I got when I saw one of them bumper stickers. I'd look to see if the owner was around. And I'd mark out, I believe it. Just put an X over it. Big red X. So it said, Jesus said it. That makes it so.
Amen.
You see, doesn't matter if Tom Jones down there, down the street, believes it. It doesn't matter if the Moroni people believe it. What's that, moron with an eye? It doesn't matter what anybody believes. If Jesus says a thing, then it's so. Jesus said through His Apostle James, if you lack something, ask God. He'll give it to you. And then He says, be single-minded on it. Take it. Receive it. Be healed. Be delivered. Be saved. Get wisdom. Get knowledge. Whatever God has, you can have it. And it's in this tent, and it's free. It's free. Amen? Now, we got a woman here that I met you over. You came in over at Cornish Flats. Cornish Flat. I keep saying flats. It's kind of hard to say Cornish Flat. What is that? A Cornish hen that got run over by a car and they said, oh, let's name the town after it. What is that? Yeah, Cornish Flat. What is a Cornish Flat? Oh, it's the town of Cornish and that's a flat spot. Okay, I got it. That's right. Okay, I'll have to remember that. Praise the Lord. These old flatlanders, we don't know a lot. You know, you got to help us out a little bit. Well, yeah. Yeah, well, unless you're from Mount Dora. They actually got a hill over there. They got a place in Florida called Iron Mountain. I think it's about 605 feet or something tall. Everybody goes says, ooh, that's a mountain. Works for me. Amen. All right. So you were over at Cornish Flat. But you've been here a few nights. And you keep leaving. But tonight, if you want, you'd be healed. You can be healed if you want to tonight. But don't leave before the Lord's ready. See, you got to wait on the Lord. And when the Lord's ready, He'll do it. He's been trying you. You find out how much you want that healing. See? Now, some people get healed different than other people. Old Paul in the radio studio, he's sitting in the camper with me one day about 4 years ago. And he's getting up and he's trying to move around. And I said, what's the matter with you? Oh, my knee hurts. I got a problem with it. You know, all this. Yeah. Be healed in Jesus' name. And I said, get up and squat around and do some stuff. And he said, man, the pain's gone. He said, man, that's weird. So it's gone. Old Mike Dill says, is it healed? Yes. Feels great. Now, Paul was a little slow back then. He had that deterioration arthritis that eats away all the cartilage and everything and leaves you crippled up. Is that what you have? Yeah, that's what he had. And he'd get up in the morning, his hands would hurt. Do you get up in the morning, your hands hurt? His hands would hurt. And it'd take him an hour or so to get his hands to even open up. His neck would hurt, his back would hurt, his leg, every bone in his body. It took him a month to realize they weren't hurting anymore. He was so fixated on his knee, he didn't realize his hands weren't hurting anymore. God delivered him, healed him of every bit of that stuff. Every bit of it. In fact, this is the beauty of God. This is how wonderful God is. Paul wanted a healing of the knee. God said, that ain't good enough. I'm going to do the whole nine yards. That's the way our God operates. You see? That's the way our God. She had a migraine headache. I didn't know she had a migraine. What's the matter with you? And a migraine headache. How long you had it? 3 days. Give me that thing. Take it, Jesus' name. Huh? Is that what happened? You were delivered too, weren't you? Amen. But God said, that ain't enough. She's got more wrong with her than that. Let's take that sciatica with it too. Let's get rid of that too. God knows more about you than I do. Now, sometimes it's true. God's a tattletale. And He'll tell on you. Sometimes He's a tattletale. Isn't that right, Ricky Baldwin? You found that out, didn't you? Old Ricky Baldwin off down there in the back room one day praying. Or I don't know where you were. You were somewhere praying. I'd sit at the dining room table having a cup of coffee, minding my own business. And all of a sudden, boom, there's Ricky Baldwin. I see him in the spirit praying. And I hear everything he's saying. Everything he's saying. And I keep my mouth shut. I didn't say a word to you, did I? Till what? 2 or 3 years later. About 2 or 3 years later, I said, by the way, Rick, you remember when you were back there praying? This is what you said, da 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 da. Put up a shut up, son. Isn't that right? Huh? Let the record show. The witness said, amen. Steve used to go down back and pray and ask God things. I'd be sitting there minding my own business, very, very comfortable with my coffee cup. And the Lord would speak to me and say, look at this. Go tell Steve such and such and so and so, so and so. And I'd go down there and give him the answer to what he was praying to God about. And it happened over and over and over and over again. You know why? Because God was showing Steve that He has a way of doing things. Huh? But God has a way of doing things. God, how many people know about 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I would not have you be ignorant. And then he sets, go down a little bit, and he sets an order of things. All the gifts, one spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but one spirit. Right? Differences of administration, but one Lord. diversities of operation, but one God, one Father. See, now there's a reason he put it that way. All salvation, all wisdom, all healing, all everything of God begins with the Father. But Jesus is the administrator of it. And the Holy Spirit is the performer of it. Huh? So it all starts with the Father. And Jesus is the administrator, the Holy Spirit the performer. How many times have you heard people, you go to talk to somebody and tell them, you know, I feel the Lord is showing me something about you. And they'd go off and they'd come off and say, well, when God shows me, I'll believe it. Anybody ever heard anybody say that? Scott used to say it to me all the time. Right? Yeah. Scott used to do that to me all the time. Now, let me show you what's happening here. Jesus said it's what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, right? All right, so what was Scott saying? He was saying, I'm going to bypass the minister. I'm going to bypass God's anointed. I'm going to bypass Jesus. I want God to talk to me on my terms because I'm co-equal with Him. Huh? That's what a person is saying in their heart. Now, God showed that to me through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through the Spirit of God. We don't really realize we do that. We really don't realize it. When we make a statement like that, we don't understand the significance. See, my Bible says that I can't even know my own spirit. So, when they say, well, that's not what I mean, how do you know what you mean if you don't know what your spirit means? If you don't know anything about your spirit, how do you know what it's saying? You can only know by what comes out of your mouth. Huh? So, if you listen and humble yourself before God and listen to what comes out of your mouth, God can show you through your words what condition your heart is in. And God finally showed me my condition of my heart wasn't so good. Reminded me of that song, the condition my condition was in. My condition had a condition. And He had to work on it. And I finally learned that what does come out of my mouth does come from the heart. And that means, folks, if you know me outside this tent, and a lot of you do, my heart is not perfect yet. God's still working on it. Amen? But He is perfect. Huh? And because He is perfect, He can work through you. He can work through me. All you have to do is believe the gospel. See? Jesus said, these signs follow them that believe. Believe what? The gospel. He didn't say these signs follow those that are holy. He didn't say these signs follow those that are perfect. He said these signs follow them that believe. Huh? And then it says they went off preaching what? And the Holy Ghost confirming with signs and wonders. Huh? So it's the word that's confirmed and it's the gospel that's confirmed. All you need to do to cross over River Jordan and walk in His power and His anointing is believe the gospel. And that's beyond just believing in Jesus. Anybody can believe in Jesus. Amen? Now, Ann, I want to show you something. Ann, stand up. Come here, honey. I got some oil on me. All right? Put your hands on that lady. Just lay a hand on her. I rebuke that arthritis in Jesus' name and command it to be gone. I curse it and command it to dry up and leave and its joints to be restored in Jesus' name by the power of His word. Glorify yourself, O Lord. Amen. All right, stand up. How's it feeling? Any difference at all? Not right now? Okay. Any pain? Is there any pain? Do you have pain? I rebuke the pain in Jesus' name and command that to be healed. Move your leg around. All right, now we're going to put the tent up. Not this week, but next week. Between now and then, I want when the tent goes up over there, I want you to come see me. I want to know what condition that lady's in. Is that a deal? No, it's coming up over here. Yep. Right over in Claremont. Right over by Al's place over there. Twist Back Road. Over on Twist Back Road, right? And there'll be signs. More signs this time than last time. And I don't know, it'll be a week after this. I'm going to take a week off and then it'll be up the next week. And I want to know the condition of that. All right? And when you go home, get in your word and just thank Jesus for being Jesus. Just thank Him. And get a hold of God. Grab hold of Jesus Christ. That's how you grab God, you see. When you grab hold of Jesus Christ, you grab God. And don't let go. Don't turn it loose. Sometimes we have to fight. See? Sometimes we have to fight. I went blind and I prayed for how many months? Over a year. And it's funny. I mean, it's funny looking back at it. It wasn't funny at the time. But I was in the church. In fact, we even had this old pulpit. I think that's the pulpit we had. Was it this one or a different one? Is that a different one? Well, we had a pulpit, and they used to take me up there, and I'd stand behind that, and I'd pray for blind people, and God would heal them. And I'd go out blind, go home, cry. Moan, groan, God, why would you heal me? Boo-hoo. And the Lord was teaching me. He was using it to teach me, and then on one day, just there it was. He wanted me to know, to believe Him, to trust Him. That's, you know, how can we serve God if we don't believe Him and we don't trust Him? And it's something we have to learn to do, because when we grow as adults, we forget how to do that. I can take Rebecca here. Come here, honey. Come on around here. I can take Rebecca and set her down and tell her just about anything. And she'll believe me. So I have to be careful what I tell her, don't I? Well, you believe your grandpa when he tells you something, right? That's right. Now, of course, some things like, you know, did you know you have a big butterfly right there? Yeah, she wouldn't believe that, right? But she'd believe most anything I tell her. So I have to be careful what I tell her. Amen? So God wants us to learn to be as children and believe Him and trust Him. Thank you. Give her a cheer. All right. Let's do that song I like. Yeah, that one. Lover of My Soul. For those listening by radio right now, while we're waiting for the song, we're going to be putting the tent up on Twist Back Road on, what is it, the 28th? Will be the first night. Yeah, Monday the 28th, 7 p.m. on Twist Back Road. You know, since 1974, I've been preaching that God was bringing a new age to the church, that we were leaving what is called the Ezekiel age and coming into the Joshua age. And under Moses in the Ezekiel age, one or two people had the power. And people would run to that person and this person and the other person. And I didn't have total understanding on that. I don't know that I have total understanding on it now. But I have an understanding. And what God has showed me and told me to come and preach is that we're coming into that Joshua age now. We started moving into it in November. And just as Moses was a type and shadow of Jesus and Joshua was a type and shadow of the apostles and the people of God, the second man going forth in the power of God, the first man that died in the desert stayed in the desert. This flesh is the first man. It stays in the desert, but that born again man goes forth, goes off into the kingdom of God and does the things of God's word, performs his word. And in this Joshua age, God is restoring to the church his line of authority. He's bringing back the foundation. Jesus said, a house built upon sand can't stand. But if it has a rock for a foundation, it can stand. Amen? Well, the churches out here are built on sand. They don't have the foundation that God says in His Word they have to have. And the foundation He says in His Word for that church is the foundation is His holy apostles with Jesus as the chief cornerstone. He's restoring the apostles and the prophets to the church so that they'll have power and walk in His authority. That's the Joshua age. And we started in it in November. And if the churches out here will hear this message, if we pray that God will open the ears of some of them, that they may hear and understand, God will raise up people in these churches out here that will believe His Word and obey His Word, and these churches will become a flame of fire for the gospel's sake, and they will heal the sick and deliver the oppressed. The blind will see and the lame will walk. And there will be a move of God because people will learn God is real. God is real. He's alive. He's a living God. And He's a powerful God. You know, if I go to my house and I flip the light switch and the lights don't come on, I'm going to say to my wife, honey, I call her honey sometimes. Did you pay the light bill? Did you send the check down to the light company? And if she said yes, then I'm going to jump on the light company and say, what's up with some of you? What happened to our power? Huh? But if she says, oh, well, I forgot to do it. I was busy and doing something else. Then I've got nothing to complain about, right? These churches got nothing to complain about. They have nothing to complain about because they haven't paid the light bill. They haven't believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've tried to go around it. They tried to go around it, over it, under it, but they haven't gone and believed it. Well, praise God, this little ugly preacher with false teeth, flat feet that stink, is going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and Jesus crucified, and I don't say that hoodwinked every church in the nation, they're going to hear it. And these Pharisees that come around here and want to dump the law and legalism on me and other people, I'm going to run them off. And that goes for the Maronis too. Amen? But if somebody wants to know Jesus, if somebody wants to know what He died for and what He's done for them, Jim, you know, I'll spend hours. I'll give you everything I've got. I'll spend all the time I've got with you. I'll do whatever it takes. But I want to know you want it. I spent a lot of years wasting my time on people that didn't want it. We've got a little problem. You bit your tongue, honey. Oh, come here. Come on up here. You know, when you're a little kid and you bite your tongue, that's a big thing. That big old tongue get there in your way. Yeah, it hurts. Yeah, that's right. Lord, just take the pain away. Just take the pain away. We just praise you, Lord. That's my Jesus. He loves children. Amen. He loves children. That's why I want to be as a child. I get to be 90 years old if God lets me stay here. And I can't wear my false teeth anymore. I'll just come in and gum it. My natural father asked me one day, he said, Richard, why don't you get a real job? A real preacher job. I said, what's a real preacher job? He said, where you get a salary and a retirement plan. I said, Dad, I got the best retirement plan that ever came. And besides, how do you retire from the kingdom of God? Steve, how long are you going to be a Christian? Well, until I'm 65, then I'm going to retire. I don't think so. A while back there, you're what, 69? Man, he's in good shape for 69. Amen? He looks in better shape than I do. I bet he could outrun me. Don't want to make him mad. You know what? He's 69, and God showed me the other night. He's anointed. That's why cancer hasn't been able to kill him. Do y'all understand that? Satan hates him. Do you know that, Al? Satan hates you. He hates your God. Because you carry God's anointing. You don't even know it. He's given you a heart that cares. You see people out here hurting and you care. You see your country going to hell in a handbasket and you care. You see these children being taught lies and you care. You see sick people and you care. Am I right? Tell me, correct me if I'm wrong.